leading us thus far. The familiar story in Luke's Gospel of this woman, my Bible says, a sinful woman, forgiven. A Scottish pastor living and working, ministering in America, recounts a true story of his when he was at college in Scotland. And he went to visit a couple of his friends who were also studying. They were doing a theology degree and at St. Andrews. And so he went to the town of St. Andrews to see them. He hadn't been there before. And he said it was a rainy, overcast, cold, windy, typical Scottish day. And I thought that was a little unfair, really, on Scotland. I haven't been there myself. I've been close to it. But anyway, that's what he said. And as these friends walked down the high street, he said that the corner of his eye, there was a man standing there. He was disheveled. He was dirty. His clothes were ripped. And he was standing and sheltering in the doorway of a shop. And this pastor said, when he was a student at that time, he said, my conscience was really pricked at that time. And my friends carried on walking, and I turned around and I went up to this man. I put my hand in my pocket to see if I had any cash. He said I had a little bit, and I pressed it into his hand, and he says, and I said to him, this is the pastor speaking, he said, look, it's cold. Go and get yourself something warm to eat. And the pastor said that this man looked at him with a look that he will never forget. And he said, are you sure about this? And he said, sure, I'm absolutely sure. And the guy said, but you're just giving your money away. Yep, but that's okay, said the pastor. And so the guy put the money in his pocket, and this pastor started to walk back to catch up with his friends, and his friend said the look that this guy gave him was one as if, and using the pastor's terminology, that he had lost his marbles. And when he caught up with his friends who lived and studied in St. Andrews said, do you know who that was? And the guy said, no, not at all. He's one of the wealthiest farmers in this area. He's obviously been in the fields working with the cows. He's just come in to get something. And the pastor said to his congregation, it was pretty embarrassing, I have to say, in front of my friends. You know, the fact is, it's easy to make assumptions and come to all sorts of wrong conclusions about people based on what we think we know about them. And that's exactly what happened with Simon the Pharisee in this story, isn't it? It turns out that he misjudged about almost everybody in this story. He misjudged the woman, he misjudged Jesus. The only person that he didn't misjudge in his eyes was himself. But Jesus was about to just disprove that. And don't you find that sometimes things are turned on their head when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm absolutely thrilled you had a special blessing at your house group. Sorry, my house group. But one person that was at the house group happened to talk about how he finds that the Lord changes things around. And it's not the way that you think. It's not the way that we're thinking. Sometimes it's not the way we're hoping for. But in this particular case, Simon had to learn a very hard lesson. And the first thing he had to realize was answer the question, who was the true host at this meeting. You see, the Pharisees, it's not a tradition, but it was the accepted fact that a Pharisee on the Sabbath day, after the Sabbath morning meeting, would always try and find a very, very high-class selected guest to come to his house to have a meal. And he would invite his other friends who were Pharisees as well to come and join with him. And the higher the status of the individual, the higher the Pharisee thought he was in the pecking order. And so here Jesus has been sort of invited as the guest of honor to Simon the Pharisee. And we have to remember what the dinner party would have looked like. I know my Bible, your Bible says sat, but of course it wasn't on chairs. They reclined. And they usually would recline on their left elbow. And there would be cushions there, or sometimes there would be a very low couch that they could rest on and maybe even put their head if they needed. Their head was close to the table, and their feet obviously would be well away from the table itself. And they would be close together so that the conversations could be quite close and intimate if needed, very private on some occasions. So here was the situation where the Lord was with all the other Pharisees that were gathered there. And then in the middle of this, this woman suddenly barges in. And we don't know when, at what time of the meal this takes place. But she stands behind Jesus with his feet outstretched, and she weeps. And Luke actually registers, uses a word that in the Greek really means that. It takes your breath away. He uses the word behold. Behold, it's a shocking feeling. It's that wow factor that we talk about these days. He's amazed at what has just happened. This woman of the city who was a sinner, when she had learned that Jesus was here at the Pharisee's house, she barges her way in, uninvited, audacious to the absolute nth degree. She bursts her way into Simon's home, this notorious sinner of the city, known by everyone. She would have been that woman. And Simon and his friends would have nothing to do with her. And here she is, standing humbly at Jesus' feet. Now, Luke is a great storyteller. And actually, up to this point, he's really told the story quite quickly. But then he slows down and goes into detail. And he uses verb after verb. Now, that's a doing word, isn't it? A verb. Yeah, it's a doing word. And when you actually look and you read what happens at this point, once she is standing there, and you start seeing these verbs and the description, it's wonderful. And he says she is weeping, and the tears fall, and they fall on Jesus' feet, and she kneels down, and she wipes them clean, and there's nothing to wipe them with except her long, loose hair, which obviously in normal conventions at that particular time was a pretty shocking thing in its own right, because women did not, although they had long hair, they would never have it loose. It was classed as being risque. So they would always have it tied up, but not her. But she was a sinner from the city. And she uses this. And so overcome is she with the gratitude and love for this man whom she has now trusted in and found mercy and forgiveness from. And she's kissing, Luke tells us, his feet as she wipes them and as she weeps. And apparently she has this alabaster box of ointment. Now, whether she had intended breaking the seal on it or whether it was to be a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know. But we do know that she breaks it. And she pours it, not over his head, as was the custom. But because she couldn't get to his head, because it was his feet, she pours it over his feet, and the place is filled with this wonderful aroma of thanks and love and gratitude to her Savior. That's the story I've retold, what we've had read to us. But if you look in verse 39, you'll see exactly what Simon thought of this. If this man were a prophet, if he really was a prophet, he'd know what sort of woman this is. He'd know what she is. He would not let her touch him. And this woman, of all people, comes into my house. He really doesn't think much of Jesus. He doesn't think anything of this woman. But of course, he's okay. He's respectable. He's religious. He's above reproach. Not like those that he has invited. Well, the one he has invited into his home and the one who is barged in uninvited. That really is Simon's perspective. But in verses 44 to 46, we actually see Jesus' perspective on this. And he explains to Simon, he said, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but my feet are now wet with her tears, and she's wiped them with her hair. You gave me no welcome kiss. From the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint me with oil, my head with oil." Now, can I just say, there was nothing compulsory about that. But in this situation, in a Pharisee's house, it was quite customary to greet a guest of honor, firstly, with water that they could wash their feet, a welcome kiss, and oil to anoint the head. It was customary. It wasn't compulsory. But none of this was forthcoming from Simon. But the woman on the opposite end of the social spectrum, this outcast, this guilty, sinful, immoral woman, she's much better as a host than Simon ever was. This is the true host who welcomed the Lord and recognized unconditionally that wondrous, genuine, heartfelt love that she now knew towards the one who had saved her. Simon judges, but this woman welcomes, embraces, loves with true gratitude of the one who touched her life. How important it is that we, like that woman, as we come into this place, that we welcome the Lord into our hearts, into our lives. She was the true host, not Simon. But can I point out who the true sinner was then? Well, you can guess, can't you? Do I need to go on? No. If you look at verses 40 to 48, Simon's grumbling about this sinful woman. So Jesus tells a story. He tells this parable, doesn't he, about this creditor who lends money. And they owe him money. Possibly 2 years' wages for the 500 denarii. Up to 2 years' wages, and they don't have anything. And so Jesus asks the question, "Tell me, Simon, who loved this creditor the most?" And he answers correctly, doesn't he? And he says, "Well, probably the one that owed the most." Absolutely. Well done. You're quite right, Simon. Now let's talk about this woman. Let's talk about this woman. Let's look at what she has done that you haven't. She's pouring out her love to me because she has been forgiven. And she knows it. She has been forgiven much because she had sinned much. J.C. Ryle said, "Great love for Jesus is the response of the heart to having been forgiven by the great grace of Jesus." And I like that. Great love for Jesus is the response of the heart to having been forgiven by the great grace of Jesus. And that's what has happened in this woman's life that Simon doesn't understand. He thinks he can solve his problems because he is superior to those around him. And he feels that if he has sinned, then he can remedy it by trying a little harder or doing better or having that veneer of religion on top. It's a bit like a gambler, isn't it? Who's in such debt and yet thinks maybe this next horse race will just pull me out of that. And yet actually they just go deeper and deeper. And mankind was like that. We think our sin problem maybe is not so bad and we can fix it on our own. And we get deeper and deeper. We cannot do this. It is all of him. The only hope is that the creditor pays the debt. And we know that our sin has been cancelled in full. We have been rescued through the blood of the Lamb. And that's the irony, isn't it, of this story? The irony, it's extraordinary, isn't it? Simon, the professional religious elite, judging this wicked woman. Simon is the one actually with the real spiritual problem. He's the one whose debt remains to be paid. She has no debt. She is forgiven. Her sins are forgiven. What a wonderful feeling, isn't it, to know that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are accepted and we are forgiven. So, the woman is the true host and Simon isn't. And as regards the true sinner, Simon is the true sinner in this case, and not the woman. But there's one other person involved in this, and that's the true Saviour. That's the true Saviour. And we see that in what our Lord says in verse 50. It tells us the difference between Simon and this woman. "Your faith has saved you," he says to her. It is easy as that. Simon has been working hard at religious performance. All these years he's been trying to curry favor with God. And Jesus cuts right through it. "There's one thing you should do. Only one. Trust in me. Come to me. You cannot fix it yourself. I can deal with your sin." And as Nigel reminded us this morning, our Lord paid in full, tetelestai, it is finished. Paid in full, no debt remaining. No wonder this woman is pouring out her love in such an extravagant way. She is clean at last, forgiven at last. Right with God at last. She knows something that Simon knows nothing about, and it fills her heart with gratitude. Can we agree and experience that same gratitude, each one of us tonight, when we consider what has been done for us, to know that we are accepted. We have had our sins forgiven. Our debt has been cancelled. He has paid in full with his blood at the cross. Sin atoned for. Forgiveness won. Debt cancelled. And simply by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we experience that. Your faith, he says, has saved you. I trust each one of us will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the mercy and grace he offers. The true host, the woman and not Simon, the one who welcomed Jesus so wonderfully. The true sinner, Simon and not the woman, he is the guilty one. And the true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, able to make the foulest clean when we trust in him. What a story of irony. What an ironic story. I pray that the fragrance that was even known in that place will always be that sweet savor unto our Lord in our worship, in our praise. Amen.